Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to take it back way down south to the Texas times. So this song is for you guys. It's called Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's an old hymn, but we bluesed it up a little bit. Song is usually sang by Karen, but bear with me.
Lords, and he shall reign forevermore.
travel far. And if I was a shepherd, I would do my part. Poor as I am, I will give to him my heart.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. My name's Andrew. If you haven't met yet, please have a seat. Let's open our service up with a word of prayer. Lord, thanks that you reign forevermore. And God, we just we invite you into this time of worship as we open up the scriptures together, as we sing these songs of praise together. Lord, you have something to say to each and every one of us. And help our ears to be open to it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we are in the fourth week of Advent. It's a season where we are anticipating the coming of Christ, not only as a baby in the manger, but also as the coming King. And so each week, come on up, guys, we have a different family that leads us in some scripture readings and lights one of the candles on the Advent wreath. And so today, the Floyd family. So Aaron and Jeanette and Owen and Malia are going to be lighting the fourth Advent candle for us.
Good morning. So in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth."
We light this candle today to remind us that God, through his Son, is redeeming the world. We thank God for the hope he gives, for the peace he bestows, for the joy he pours into our hearts, and for the love that redeems us and shows us the way. Lord, fill us with your love as you redeem the world through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeanette. Now the kids, some of the kids back in Children's Church have been working on a song. And so if there's any kids that, well, maybe Malia will come back up again. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where our crack team of kids are at the moment. But on some level, we kind of all are, aren't we? So we're gonna let's take our voices to the manger, and let's sing a song together. Well, you're a kid in Children's Church, I guess. Here we go. But let's sing it together. Let's sing it together. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Well, we'll do that again, although now all the big kids need to do the actions too. Yeah. You do the actions too? Will you show them the actions? You're going to show them the actions? Perfect. You just follow Marcia. Sing along, folks. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. All right, well, let's pray for our kids and pray for Marcia and So Lord, we thank you for our kids. We thank you for all of the joy that they bring and the excitement. And God, we just pray that this Christmas would be a time where not only do they encounter a lot of fun of family and the celebrations of Christmas and presents and all that stuff, but Lord, that they would truly encounter you, our the Savior, come to earth as a baby in the manger. And so we commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, let's thank Marcia and her team. Can we give them a round of applause as well? And so this is the time, as our kids are getting settled in Children's Church, where we get to greet one another. We'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen, too, as folks are joining us from all around the wherever they're coming from. But maybe give somebody a fist bump or wave at them or a high five or shake their hand or something. Just let somebody know that you're glad to see them and you're going to get back into singing in about 30 seconds.
As you guys make your way back to your seats, we're also going to sing another song called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. the more lonely exile here, until the day of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to captive Israel. Oh, come thou dayspring, come and cheer.
Step, every day, every decision, in everything, trials, tribulations, everything. I'd like to welcome Michelle Torgerson up to do our congregational prayer.
Hello.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, church family. To all you here in person and online, will you all bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we come together to celebrate your birth, your life, your death, and your resurrection. As we celebrate, Lord, help us to love like Jesus to those in need around us. Open our eyes and let us see them as you see them. Guide and direct us to those in need so that we may share your gift of salvation, love, and mercy. One day when the power of evil is brought to an end, we will see the promised land. What an amazing message of your hope, your promise, and your love. Help us, Father God, to spread this message near and far. Help us to be bold and to share your great love for us. In a world where worry, not peace, prevails, stir up that good news again. This Christmas, make it real in our hearts. Never have we needed your joy and peace more than now. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus, our Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. Help us to not forget that your love never changes, never fades, and that you never abandon the purpose for which you came, to save us from our sinful condition and to give us eternal life, the joy of relationship with a holy God. Your birth and your death sealed your promise to us forever. Lord, we ask you to grant us peace, peace in our homes, our churches, our communities, and peace in our hearts, especially when it feels like the world around us spins out of control. Help us to stay focused on you this Christmas and always. Thank you for loving the whole world enough to send the greatest gift, your Son, so we might truly have a very Merry Christmas. Father God, you are the reason for this season, and let us celebrate you and all you do for us. Heavenly Father, though Christmas is sometimes hard because we miss the ones we love, help us to remember that gift, your Son, Jesus. In times of grief and sadness, help us remind us of the reason and fill us with your peace. We ask you for the power to press on, and thank you for carrying us when it's hard to walk. We ask you, Father God, to empower our leaders here in the U.S. and across the globe to work towards peace and the ability to work together, regardless of political sides. May your wisdom be their guide as they make decisions and lead our families, our states, and our countries. We pray for all the people that are hurting, for those suffering here and around the world, the depressed, lonely, sick, those struggling in marriage, people looking for work, and those struggling with addiction. Lord, we ask for your light to shine on the darkness of all these things and guide us to help one another. Father God, we lift up our hands to you and pray about COVID and all the different variants. We ask for healing in each person suffering from it. So we pray, Father, and lift COVID up to you and ask for your guidance with how to deal with it and all that comes from it. We ask for blessings to the weary medical workers and all those that make our hospitals and clinics work. They are so tired, so we ask for a special blessing over them. Oh, mighty Father, we gather here today to pray over the global warming effects, the fires that have burned, the typhoons, the devastating tornadoes, the floods and storms causing so much damage everywhere. We pray for all the people that are experiencing great loss from all these things. Help us to know how to help so that we can spread your message of hope, grace, mercy, and love. We pray for our children's church, that kids would grow in their faith and that teachers would be encouraged and blessed. Thank you for our teachers here and everywhere as they passionately give their time to teach your word. We pray for a children's ministry teacher that can direct our children and become part of our church family. Father God, we pray for the missionaries, church leaders, evangelists, and pastors. Let there be a wall of protection around them so they can continue their great work spreading your message. Thank you, Lord. All those kidnapped missionaries in Haiti have been returned home. Hallelujah. For our congregation, Father, we ask for a hedge of protection over each one of us. Each one of us has specific prayers, so at this time, I'd like to have a moment where we can lift those up to you, either out loud or in silence. Father, let us pray for specific needs within our church, for Brant Capel as he continues to recover from a heart transplant. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful miracle of Brant's heart and the medical team that helped to make this all possible. We ask for continued prayers in healing and recovery. And we ask for prayers to the donor family and ask that you wrap them up in your love, peace, and comfort. For Gail Miller and the family of Don Miller as they mourn his passing. For Bev Seals and her family as they mourn the passing of Bob. for Laura Winchester and her family as they mourn the passing of her nephew, Wayne, and for Clark as he mourns the loss of his beloved dog, Buddy. Lord, we ask that you, too, wrap these families up in your love, peace, and comfort. Father God, we ask for special blessings over Pastor Andrew. We ask for a blessing on Andrew and his family, and for Pastor Paul and his family. These last 2 years have been difficult with COVID and all that surrounds that. We ask for a hedge of protection over their families. Let us hear your message through Pastor Andrew in a way that fills our soul. Thank you that he brings your message to us each week. And let today's message resonate in each of our hearts. Because your love for each one of us is great. We sing glory to you, Emmanuel, in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Thanks, Michelle. Bringing the fire. I like it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Woo. Yeah. But it's just been so fun to watch her grow as a prayer leader and a leader in the church. And, you know, she stepped forward to help out with hospitality ministry a few years back. And, you know, when you start serving somewhere, you meet people and you get stretched and you grow. So, anyways, that's good. Thanks, Michelle. Now, we're in the season of Advent. It's the fourth Sunday in Advent. And if you're like me, like, just feeling like this Advent season and the themes of Advent are all the more needed this year. You know, those themes of hope, peace, joy. Who here doesn't want more of all of those things? Or then this, the fourth candle of Advent, love. I mean, all of us want to be loving people. We love Christmas because we get to spend time with our loved ones. So let's take a closer look at what Christmas has to say about love and what it means to first receive love so that we can give it. Now, the Floyd family, they opened up for us a passage in Micah chapter 5. It's actually one of the prophecies of Jesus. And I wanted us to take a closer look at that, and then we'll be spending some time in John chapter 1 after that, if you've got your Bibles open, and I highly recommend that you do. So, but let's start in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Now, with all of these prophecies, I mean, the Old Testament prophecies, it's a little bit like looking at somebody through the fog, where you can make out the outline. You know that something's there, but you can't necessarily make out all the details yet. And as you're hearing this prophecy, you're going to, you know, the Lord revealed to Micah some things that he was going to be doing several hundred years from that time in the birth of Jesus. Some elements have just a remarkable accuracy, and other elements are a little fuzzier. But let's just take a closer look, because even in this prophecy, we can see this this really one key element of what it means for Jesus the Messiah to come. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. How did the Lord know that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? Well, he knew because he designed it that way. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. And then get this, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. I'm reminded that in John chapter 1, it talked about how the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Or in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for in him all things were created in heaven and on earth. It's one whose origins is from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Then we get to this next key idea. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. He won't just phone it in. He won't just send somebody else. He won't just Zoom it. He will stand. He will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. So there's a couple of big ideas in Micah. One, of course, that Jesus is born in where? Bethlehem. That's pretty remarkable. There's a lot of cities out there. And Bethlehem's not big. And yet this prophecy, right there. But then there's a couple of big ideas. The one who will come, whose origins are from old. And then this idea that this leader will come to stand and shepherd his flock. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 14, we see this concept much more clearly. So I wanted to spend some time just drilling deep into this one great big idea. So say John 1, 14 with me. We'll put it up on the screen. It says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let's say that again together. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. One more time. The Word became what?
Flesh.
And made his dwelling among us. So let's dive in. First big idea. The Word became what?
Flesh.
Human, exactly. Another way you could put that is that God became vulnerable. God became a human being, the one whose origins are from old, the one who was there at the dawn of time, the one in and through whom all things were made, became part of creation itself. The painter jumped into the painting. God became human. Isn't it ironic, perhaps, that God became the very thing that most of us actually like the least about ourselves? Our own humanity? The one who would be all-powerful, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, who never needs to take a break unless he chooses to, would become one who would like have to sleep, who would have to take a break sometimes, who would be susceptible to disease, hunger, thirst, pain, temptation, weakness, discouragement, depression, rejection, all of these elements of what it means to be human. God would become that for us. That God would, in essence, he would take off all of his protective gear, all of it, and become human. I've spent a fair amount of time working with the chaplain team at the hospital and the ICU over the past couple years. I'm told I'm one of the few pastors in the valley that's done that. But it's interesting, you know. You go up to, you know, on those floors, and there's a lot of protective equipment. Has to be there. You know, as people put in masks and a shield and all the, and it looks like you're in a space suit. You know, there's been a few times where I've had the privilege of praying with and over patients, and I'm in this, all this stuff. It takes about 5 minutes to get into it and 5 minutes to get out of it. And we need that stuff right now. But you know what? Every person in the ICU, or every worker in the ICU, every doctor, every nurse, when they go home, at some point they have to, well, actually even when they leave, immediately when they leave the room, they have to take the first layer of it off. And by the time they come home, they have to take all of it off. We take off all our protections with the people we love the most. We get the most vulnerable with the people we love the most. Or you might think of first responders or soldiers, these people that help to keep things safe, you know, and they're you know, wearing the bulletproof vests and the helmets and all the things that they need to do their job. The firefighter who wears all the gear in order to do their job. We're so grateful they have the gear. They need to suit up. This is part of what it means to do what they need to do. And at some point, they take off all the protective gear and they get vulnerable. We get the most vulnerable with the people we love the most. Without getting overly, well, it's in those most trusted, most intimate relationships, the lifetime commitment, the choices of marriage. It's where we get the most vulnerable. We take all the protection off. That's part of what that means. God became flesh. God became vulnerable. Wow. A God who would now understand all of the frailties of humanity, being hangry, passing gas, having a headache. Think Jesus ever threw up? I bet he did. All of the elements of what it means to be human. God did that. God became that vulnerable. We only get vulnerable, that vulnerable with the people. We only choose to get that vulnerable with the people we love the most. The Word became flesh, and then what did he do? He made his, let's put it up on the screen, made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and then made his what? Dwelling among us. In other words, God showed up. God showed up in person. Right now, we think of, as we're getting ready for Christmas, who here is planning to do some travel? Travel to see family? Some of you? Or are family members traveling to see you? Okay, number of hands? Some of you? Some of you got everybody? Oh, I don't know. But we tend to do a lot of travel at Christmas, don't we? Because we know that the finding ways to gather together in person matters. So we go through all of the hassle and all of the expense and at times even all of the danger, whether that's with mountain passes or airplanes or long drives or all the medical things that we worry about now too. We go we make assessments of the risks versus the rewards, and we may not all calculate things exactly the same. Everybody's landing in their own places in terms of how much risk they're really to take on, but all of us know this. Gathering together with the people we love matters, right? That's why if you're a parent, you do everything you can to show up at your kids' concerts and their ball games or whatever they're doing, because love shows up, doesn't it? God showed up. The Word became flesh, and then what did it do? It made its dwelling among us. In Jesus' life, I mean, he performed many miracles. But there were two miracles in his life, two really big miracles in his life that essentially happened to him, that God did in and through Jesus. Now, the one that we know the most, the one that is most clearly demonstrated, is the one that was towards the end of his earthly life, and that Jesus died on the cross, and then he did the absolutely unthinkable. He rose again from the dead. That's the miracle that that draws us to faith. It's the very center of our faith. The resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian conviction, of Christian belief. Our belief is in a risen Savior. That makes Jesus different than every other, religious teacher in the world. You could go to Saudi Arabia and you could see the remains of Muhammad. You could go to China. You could visit the cremated remains of Buddha or Confucius. But if you go to Israel, all you can find is an empty grave. There are no remains there. That makes Jesus different. Why are you all so quiet? You're all quiet. This is like really good stuff, and you're all quiet. Okay, track with me, okay? So this miracle at the end of Jesus' life on earth, his resurrection, is what gives us confidence in all of the things that he said during his earthly ministry. And among his earthly ministry, he said stuff like, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And it points us to the miracle that happened at the very beginning of Jesus' life. That is just as important, really, as the miracle at the close. It's just less obvious. It's the miracle of the incarnation. God actually came to earth as a little baby boy. God showed up. He showed up. Does God really understand what we're going through? Yes, God showed up. Does God understand what I feel? Yes, because God showed up. He could have just sent a messenger. Well, it'd be thousands of years later that, Zoom would be invented, but, he could have zoomed in. But God actually showed up. There's all these misconceptions about God, all the things in the Old Testament. They kind of get it, and they see it as like we talked about, through a fog. You kind of see the outline, and it's a true picture of God, but you don't know all the details. Jesus wanted to clear that up, and so he showed up. God showed up. That's a big deal. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You show up for the people you care about the most. That's why you're willing to drive over mountain passes or get on airplanes. That's why many, why we do whatever the medical precautions we need to take, whatever expense we need to incur, we just do it because love shows up. God showed up. What does that tell us about how God values us? About how God values you. That God would become vulnerable. That God would show up. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it puts it this way. Here is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. He sent him so that we could receive life through him. Here's what love is. It's not that we loved God. It's that God loved us and sent his Son to give his life to pay for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we also should love one another. So God became vulnerable for us. God showed up, and God sacrificed for us. That's what we do. He sacrificed for us, because that's also what love does, isn't it? You'll do almost anything for the people you love the most. And the scriptures paint a picture of a God who became vulnerable, who showed up, and then sacrificed of himself, so that you and he could be reunited. See, because for two parties to be reconciled, there needs to be some way of those two parties coming together. But we couldn't become God. We're too flawed, we're too weak, we're too limited. I mean, we can't become God any more than you can jump up in the air and land on the moon. Which is why God would have to come to us. That God became human to reconcile humanity to God. It's the only way it can work. God became human. God became vulnerable. God showed up. God sacrificed for us. And among other things, what that tells us, and I hope we're able to hear this morning, and I hope you're able to take this in on some level, is just how much God loves you. Do you realize how valuable you are to God? That God would become flesh, that God would show up, and that God would give of himself for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8 puts it this way, as it's talking about love. Love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. And so as we see what God has done for us, that God declares through his actions that we are loved and that we are valuable. God declares that we are loved and that we are valuable. Do you know how valuable you are to God? It's funny, isn't it, that how much of things of value are about the value that's ascribed to the item and not necessarily inherent in the item itself. Let me illustrate. Actually, I'm going to need a volunteer in just a minute. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to ask this volunteer to do. So think about if you want to volunteer. Because, see, what I'm going to ask our volunteer, our intrepid volunteer to do, I'm going to come up, I'm going to have you put on a blindfold so you can't see. And then I'm going to hand you three bills. One of them is a $1 bill. Can we bring the camera in as tight as we can here? One of them is a $1 bill. The other is a $5 bill. And the other is a $20 bill. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, as you're blindfolded, I'm going to ask you to pick which of the three you would like to keep. And you get to keep whichever of the three that you want to. And the other two, I would just respectfully ask that you put them in the offering baskets. Okay? So, you know, one of you will get one item at the dollar store. Maybe, not including tax, except for the dollar store costs more than a dollar now. So stupid. Anyways, but the other one, you know, we'll maybe get you several items at the dollar store. The other one, well, it might, if you've got a small car, it'll do about a half a tank of gas or maybe a nice lunch or something like that. So who wants to play along? Who wants to play along? Oh, Ailette. Okay, come on up, Ailette. She's brave. Okay. Because I don't know if you've ever really thought about this. And so you can have a seat, so make you good and steady. And you put this blindfold on. Okay. And let me know when your blindfold is on, you're good and ready. But it's interesting that, see, I mean, we think of money as having value. And of course it does. But on some level, it actually doesn't. It's just paper. Right? Even it was back in the 1930s as a nation, just like most nations, we abandoned the gold standard. There's no big, you know, block of gold to back up every one of these bills. You know, essentially the value of each of these bills is just that we have a collective national and ultimately international agreement that, you know, that money matters. And that these dollars have significance and value beyond the paper that they're on. That's also, I don't know if you've ever thought about like Bitcoin, or the cyber currency, all that stuff. You're like, what's the deal about having money based on nothing, you know? Well, on some level, all money is based on nothing. It's ascribed value. And the point of that I want to make with this is that just by looking at it, you can't necessarily, can you see at all? If you can't, that's good. That's good. I had to test that.
Okay, what did you do?
I just made funny faces. Oh. Everything we do today, I might be embarrassed, but I promise we will not embarrass you. Okay? Okay. So, and I need you. No, shh. Okay. So I'm going to give you, here's some different bills. Here's one bill. And feel free to touch it, to smell it. I wouldn't recommend you lick it. That's you don't know where it's been. But, okay, there you go. And the funny thing is, it's all just, that's nice. That's good. That's nice. Okay. Well done. You have played this game before, haven't you? Okay. Okay, so what I would, and maybe you can help her out a little bit, but what I would ask you to do, Ailette, is I want you to pick one of those three for you to keep, and the other two I want you to give away.
Okay.
You're going to keep that one?
Maybe it's cold.
You have a friend in the you're going to keep that one for sure. How do you know that that's the. You don't know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You can't tell?
With my luck, it's the $1.
Really? Are you sure that's the one you want to do? Keep? You sure? She's rethinking it.
Okay. No, wait a minute. Oh, they all have the same crease. Well, darn.
Okay. All right. Okay, you can take off your blindfold now. Yay!
I get a latte.
You get a latte, exactly. Well, I'll keep the blindfold, and you take the rest, and you know what to do. You know what to. Can we give Ailette a hand? But of course, the whole point of that, is that you can't tell money's value just by looking at it. The true value comes from something much, much deeper. Take a look at your neighbor. You can't tell their value just by looking at them either, can you? Our true value is value that is ascribed to us. It comes from somewhere outside of us. And beyond us. Just like the money in your wallet, its value is given by another. The Word became what?
Flesh
and made its dwelling among us. God became vulnerable, became human. For you. God left the wonders and splendors of heaven to come to earth as this infant baby, vulnerable, to be laid in a manger, to be placed in a feeding trough. To experience all of what it means to be human out of love for you, out of love for you. Do you know how valuable you are to God? And do you know where your true value comes from? God declares you, declares me. And yeah, you're already five. Come on up, Ian. Anyways, we're already like 3 minutes past the band come up cue. We're getting there. Because what I hope that we can land for, just as an idea that we can just lock in on today, is that your value, your worth, our value, our worth is based on so much more than just the sum of our parts. God declares, you declares, me declares us valuable. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You matter to God. That God would become a baby. That God would show up. That God would give of himself so that you and he could be reconciled, so that he and us could be reconciled. We cannot tell our value just by our appearance, just as the sum of our parts. Our true value is ascribed to us. It is given to us. It is declared over us by the one who made us. No more can we tell the value of the people around us just simply by their track record, by their history, by the sum of their parts. It is all based on the one who declares our value. As we close, would you stand with me? And just invite us as we pray. And you don't need to do anything that I ask you to do necessarily, but I just would encourage you just to open your hands up before God. Maybe think of the people in your life that have made themselves vulnerable to you. Think of the people in your life who have showed up at key moments in your life. And I hope there have been many. Think of the people in your life that have given of themselves for your well-being, that have sacrificed, whether that's time or money or care or whatever it is. And think about how much more that is true for God in His love for you. Lord, help us to receive Your love this Advent and Christmas season. Remind us of how much we matter to You, so that we are able to not only enjoy the love we've received, but we're able to pass it on to the people around us. So I just even invite you, as your hands are open, as you're thinking of all that God has done for you, just maybe under your breath, just to say something like, God, thank you. Thank you, God, for doing that for me. Thank you that you say that I am that important to you. Thank you, God, that we are that important to you. Thank you that you demonstrated your love for us through Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in His name. Amen. Amen. Ian, would you lead us in song?
Was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me.
please have a seat. I invite you to take out your communion packets. As you think about gathering with the people that you love the most, chances are that gathering will happen around a dinner table of some sort. That's why it's so fitting that as Jesus is demonstrating his love for his disciples, as Jesus is telling them, when you do this, every time you do this, remember me. It's so fitting that he would use a meal. So if you wanted to receive a communion packet and you haven't got one yet, maybe put up your hand and one of our amazing ushers will get that to you. Because friends, in the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." That's why as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. These next moments, I would invite us to actually just serve one another with these communion elements. Not necessarily to swap them, because I mean, that may or, depending on your situation, that may or may not be appropriate. But this is what I would ask us to do. Is that as the person sitting next to you, whether you know them well or not, as they're partaking of the elements, speak these words to them. "This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. The Word became flesh, didn't he? And he made his dwelling among us." I'm going to lead us in a short prayer and then invite us to serve one another, okay? Lord, thank you for this way of remembering what you did for us. You gave your body, you shed your blood. These are signposts that mark and point us to your great love for us. Thank you that you showed up for us. You took on flesh for us out of your love for us. Lord, it's so hard to believe it sometimes. Help us to, so that we can pass it on. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a few moments. Speak those words to somebody around you. Help them remember how much they matter to God.
Who the Son sets free, oh, is free.
Invite us to stand as we close. We're going to speak these words that as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, as you pray, pray like this. So we'll put some of those words up on the screen. I invite you to say these words out loud with me, okay? So even if you're joining us from home, speak these words out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. And Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. Yay! This Thursday night, December 23rd, guess what? Christmas Eve, Eve. Yay! We will have a church service here on Thursday night, a service of readings, of carols, and candlelight. So I hope you can make it. If you can't, watch it online as well this Thursday night. Thank you. Three people stepped up in the past week to help with nursery. We still need a couple more. So, a joy for the people that stepped up, and we still need a minimum of two more people so we can get nursery opened up sometime in January. So, if your heart's to work with the little kids, ages basically from 0 to about 3 years old, put a little note on those connection cards or see me, and we'll get that process started for you. Our Christmas offering this year, every year we do a Christmas offering here, above and beyond our normal tithing. A third of those monies will go to Covenant Kids Congo on a global aspect. A third of those monies will stay local for our church benevolence fund to help out people. Maybe their utilities are about getting ready to shut off. Maybe they need help with the rent deposit, things like that. That's where those monies go for. And then the last third goes into our Moving Ministry Forward Fund, which helps with internships and leader development here within the church. So if you're so inclined to do that, you can do that on columbiagrove.org. Scroll to the Giving tab. Scroll down to where it says Christmas Offering. You can go that way. Or if you're like me, you still like to write checks, do your check. I know I'm old. I'm old-fashioned. I still like a check. Fill out your check and just put Christmas in the memo line and put it in the offering baskets as well. Walt from our leadership team would like to give you an update.
Thanks, Paul. Good afternoon, good morning, whatever. The leadership team met, and as you know, our leadership chair, Brant Capel, is still in the body shop. His heart transplant was successful, but he's still healing. So the leadership team decided to switch our roles. So I was the vice chair. Now I'm the chair. He'll be the vice chair. So any comments or suggestions you have, contact me. Email, cell phone, see me in church, whatever. The other thing I need to let you know is our books have been audited and we passed very successfully. And our KICY fundraiser will be Sunday, January 9th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walt. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we're about to celebrate your birthday later this week, we look forward to family get-togethers, family gatherings, friends getting together. We pray for safety for whether you're on the roads, on a train, in an airplane. We pray for safety in travel. For those who this Christmas time might not be so joyous, Lord, put a special blessing on all of us at this time of year. The reason for the season is you. The only Friday we need to worry about as Christians is Good Friday, not Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Be with us today through the rest of this week. May we all love like Jesus and depart in peace. Amen.